Derek Brandale giving me tips on how to open up a show now?
That should have been on air. It's Willie Day.
As I said, Derek Brandale, our tech expert, calling it Willie Day. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Jen Rolnick, also on board for the next 2 hours. Yes, it is. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. And let's make it officially the Willie Nylander edition of our show. As it's been noted, Willie Nylander signs a long-term deal extension with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 8 years, $92 million contract. Full no movement, front-loaded. Willie Nylander is a very rich man today.
Yeah, okay. So max years, about max of the high-end scale dollars that we thought it would get to. Max coverage, trade protection, max front-loading, max. Max.
It's,
the maximum.
Maximum contract.
Maximum Willie. Yeah.
We were able to kind of get ahead of this last week on our show, last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well done, fellas.
Yeah.
It was good. It's always nice to be a little bit ahead of the curve on a few things. That was a nice moment for our show. No question about that. At the time, did you feel like it was a split feeling amongst Leaf Nation that this is a good thing when we first said that this was going to be a max deal north of 11? We had suggested 11.25. It moves up another $250,000. Was that a difference for you guys that could sway your feeling, or it is what it is? We'll start with you, JB.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit it does sway my feeling, but you know, I think what's going to be unsatisfying for people as we talk through this and the different angles of it, for coming from me anyway, is that this can be two things where I think it is, you know, the contract is not going to be debilitating for the Leafs. And in fact, I think probably fair market for value for a guy. I think it's okay. But on the other hand, I think what's going to be frustrating is just that you saw guys like Tkachuk sign for less money. You see Aho sign for less money. There's this belief that you could have got it cheaper. He didn't save them any money. So there's the frustration of, like, you were hoping it was going to be cheaper. At the same time, I don't think it's that terrible. So, I am, unfortunately, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's okay. Wish it was better for the Leafs. Over to you, Sammy.
Yeah.
He just signs a deal and you start with
sticker shock here, boys.
Yeah.
Sticker shock.
Come on.
It is. What can I say? I think it's sticker shock. Yes.
He just told you it's a fair deal. He's
here's what I keep coming back to, and I've been thinking about this way too much over the past 2 days. It's a fair contract for the human being that William Nylander is right now on the ice. They paid him at his absolute apex. Could not have been he could not
to the day maybe his
he
peak
could
value
not
ever
be playing any better than he has to this point of the 2023-2024 season. This is his best he's ever looked, and I acknowledge that last year was a big step for him as well too, so I'm not gonna take that away from this contract. Like, this better be him now, because if it goes down a level after this or next season when he starts actually making the money, I'm telling you the way this is going to go amongst Leafs Nation. And it's already not very well received.
Wasn't that the delay all about the Leafs, to your point, saying this better be the real Willie now? And wasn't that
how we got to January?
Why it went from a summer negotiation to a January 8th official announcement is because they've got to see what they think is a long stretch of what the real Willie should be.
Well, I see your point. And I think that's what happened this summer when it was like, okay, he could sign the deal. And the Leafs are going, okay, he just scored 40, almost 90 points. He was good in the playoffs. This is the peak of his value. Let's make him do it for another half season before we give him the money. And eventually it just went up from there. You know, I think that's your point, right, Kip? That like they gave him time and this was it. But you can't negate the fact that he's been below a point per game player his whole career up to now. it's pretty uncommon, I think, for a guy at 26 to just become one for the next 10 years or whatever. So
just note, at 5:30 Eastern, we will welcome in Willie Nylander.
Yeah.
The Leafs will make him available. So we'll ask him a ton of questions as well. Not sure how many answers we're going to get.
What's your number one thing you want to ask him?
Tell us about Sugo. What's your favorite thing on the menu at that hat you wear all the time?
Yeah, he likes it.
He does.
He likes it.
Yeah.
What about you, Kipper?
I don't know. Where do you get your undershirts? I mean, can my arms look as good
as
yours
if I get
bucks? The right?
Might be my follow-up.
If I get the right
20?
Undershirt. Elliot Friedman as well on the top of the hour. So we got a jam-packed show. So many ways that we can get into this deal for Willie Nylander. Just in terms of now what I think the Leafs were able to do that they were not able to do with Matthews or Marner is get the max term allowed. Yeah. And is that not seen as a win in itself? Because you had talked about this many times on our show, Sammy.
Yeah.
What's wrong with an 8-year deal? Why is everybody signing 4 or 5 or 6? Like, why doesn't anybody want to make a huge commitment? If we really think about Austin Matthews for the next 4 years at 13.6, isn't 11.5 for 8 a good signing?
So you
hold on now. Matthews is 13.25.
13.25. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I'm gathering the feeling that you think this is good, that you like it.
I'm not saying.
I'm just picking up what you're throwing down.
I at least had no choice.
That's and well.
If I was Brad Tree Living, if I was Brendan Shanahan, I would have done the same thing.
So
that's
okay.
That's where I'm coming from.
Any analysis of this deal, to steal the phrase of a friend of mine, that doesn't start with what would he have got as a UFA is probably not very useful. So let's start there.
Okay. Just note too, just to follow up on you. He's only eligible to sign for 7 years if it's not a sign and trade.
Right.
And for him to be equivalent to this deal today would have been $13 million.
Right.
Do you think he could have got $13 million on the open market?
But also, Kip, that is assuming he doesn't play that 8th season with the team. He could re-sign, let's say it's for $4 million at the end of his career, whatever. He's probably going to get some dollar amount in that year. It's an option for them anyway if they want him. So to me, it's 12-7. Someone would have given him 12-7 because at the cost of no asset for what Willie Nylander is, that's probably what he could get on the open market. So from there, the Leafs say, we can give you, other teams could have, you know, front-loaded the salary. Other teams could have, helped him out in a variety of ways. But the Leafs can say, we'll give you the extra year, and you're already here. You know, you're comfortable in Toronto, and we'll give you the extra year. Let's walk it back to $500,000. That's kind of how you get to 11.5. I do, you know, I wish that had been worth more for the Leafs, the ability to do the extra year, and that you're already in Toronto, and you want to be here. And I also think that there's value in giving more back to the team in the terms of public perception. So
that hasn't been the case, right?
Never. To me, this is the most he could have got, and he just took it all.
Like, the Leafs really got nothing back in any of this.
What part of, that's a question I'm going to ask you guys.
Yeah.
What part of this negotiation, this wasn't a negotiation.
No.
It was a concession.
It was a concession.
You got to a point where they said, okay, fine, we'll give you what you're asking for.
Yeah, so there's not like one part of this deal that's like, oh, wow, at least the Leafs got a break there. And
8 years of full no move.
I just clarify something? I'm really happy that William Nylander's here for 8 years.
Yeah. That's important you're noting that. I agree.
Because like I've really enjoyed watching him play, particularly over the last 2 years, where I haven't been as frustrated with him, and he's really taken a step. And
I'm thrilled.
There you go. I want this to be through that sort of lens. But like, yet at the same time, we talked about this a little bit on Leafs Talk on Saturday. It's like, you know, these guys all rave about how much they love being here, and it's like this is all I care about is being a Leaf. And it's like, well, then, like, could you take $500K less per year for 8 years? Or, like, could you give one concession in? Like, it just, they love it. It's like the cake and eat it. They get the cake and eat it, too, at all times. It just drives me a little bit crazy from that perspective. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
I'm not leaving.
And so to follow up on that, I think the way he skates and his size and strength, and the way he shoots it, that's going to hold up. He's going to score goals for years and years here in Toronto. So I don't hate the contract. That's why I say I think he's probably worth 11.5, but I don't think they got any sort of savings.
It seems more and more agents today do focus on percentage of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie will have take 13.1 off the Leaf cap, which Marner, I think, was just a hair above it at 13.2. And I think Austin's in that ballpark,
at
too.
At the time of signing? Is that
yes,
what you mean?
At the time of signing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marner's 13.3. So it's, like, very similar.
Yeah. So I think Pasternak was at 13.4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
Panarin was 14.
Could ask for 13.5, 13.6.
Those numbers are from
that
Corrado.
Could have gotten him close to $12 million a year.
Well, that's maybe where they started.
Maybe at 13.1, that's decent concession.
The best thing I think that the Leafs have going for it, is that the salary cap is supposed to go up 5% this year and 5% the year after. And I know there's people that the thing I've hated seeing the very most is, oh, it worked out great for the Leafs last time they banked on the cap going up. And it's like, well, you should bank on it going up, and you're not going to plan for world pandemic, level stuff. So assuming there's no world pandemic you would like the odds of it going up, and Willie's salary could in short time, end up looking like, okay, if Tavares is making $4 million 2 years from now, and so the group of those four guys is then making, 38 or 37 million while the cap is up another $10 million, it suddenly starts to look okay. So some of this sounds like justification, but he is a good player. It is going to look better in time. But yeah, coming out of the gates, it just doesn't feel like a massive win. It feels like he's staying, and that's good.
Yeah, and next year is just they have a good team this year, and, a team with some aspirations and a team that I think has a little bit of jam to it or whatever. But I hate to look by this season. But next season's just a
tough
disaster.
Real tough.
You can't even begin to go there, Sammy, on next year. And, of course, this will play his 11.5 AAV kicks in next year. What does that mean for other players now to fill out the roster? And there's going to be juggling, no doubt about it. But where is the juggling begin in your mind, and can it even without knowing how the end of the season looks?
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That to me is all of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And this will get to eventually that conversation of Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Mitch Marner is eligible to
Mitch
sign
must
the contract.
Love this contract.
He's eligible.
That's the floor.
He's eligible to sign July 1st. No different than Willie was. This past July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of conversation does that start? And where is the vibe between Mitch Marner's agent, Darren Ferris, and the Leafs? Did they get knocked out of the first round?
Yeah.
Did they get past the second round?
Was Mitch a contributor?
Is there a conference final involved? Did they get to a think about the narrative of that negotiation mm-hmm. on two sides, an early exit or a deep run.
Yeah.
It's a completely different conversation.
And then you're going to have a better understanding of whether or not Mitch is truly licking his chops on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can assure you that an early exit by the Toronto Maple Leafs this spring will not lead to Mitch licking his chops talking to the Leafs July 1st.
No. But it might lead to Mitch licking his chops with whoever he's traded to and, re-signed there.
But now we're having a different conversation, right?
Yeah.
Now we're having a, where do the Leafs go from here?
Yeah.
And listen, you trade Mitch, that's essentially waving the white flag and blowing this thing up, okay? It is.
Yeah.
It could.
I suppose how that looks in return.
Not necessarily
right?
Blowing it up to, let's start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But now you are seriously into a plan B.
Yeah.
It's a different looking thing.
It's a different beast.
Yeah. You're constructing a different team. And I think there's a lot of people who would make the case they think it should be different. But the one thing with this is, it's not that easy to just trade a guy like him or a guy like Willie who, was going to be owed a lot of money. And they're some of the elite players in the league. You know, like it's, I think they considered, I shouldn't say I think, the Leafs considered and called around on what Willie's value was out there. They couldn't get back anything close to commensurate value. And people out there always say, they should just trade him for a D, allocate some of that money to the back end. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
No one's given you.
And you know what else doesn't necessarily work all the time? Outside of a player's production in the past or his talent level is, are you built for this city? Mm-hmm. Can you handle this city? Do you know how many players of great talents have put on the Leaf uniform and then found a way to kind of crumble between the ears?
Are you tough enough to play this game?
That is not Willie. Willie has proven also that he's very much built for this city, which cannot be said for any superstar in the league. Some are more comfortable with less attention, less pressure. This guy, he can score 6 goals in 6 games. He can go 0-for-6, and you really can't tell the difference.
No,
you're right. And that's not a bad thing in this town.
Not a bad thing in this town. And I do think that, you know, the fans have earned the right, because Willie didn't take some massive discount or whatever, that when it doesn't go well, to be on him a little bit, and it won't faze him, and he'll just continue to be Willie.
If there's one thing Willie's probably used to, is Leaf fans being on him.
Yeah. They've been trading him forever.
There's a certain sect of Leafs Nation that, you know, to the west and east of here, that don't necessarily love William Nylander.
Today is a massive loss for some people.
I was going to say today is a kind of a ending point of a tentpole conversation for Leafs Nation.
He has
forever.
A no move for 8 years. Everyone's been trading Willie since the day he got here.
Like, as soon as the playoffs ended, it was like, well, it's time to start talking about the offseason. Where's Willie going? Like, it was a very popular conversation.
Yeah, he's going wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
Which is right here.
I'll tell you another thing.
I'm not leaving.
Past the $92 million in the 8 years, what I think doesn't get played up enough is what you just mentioned. A complete no move.
Yeah.
Like, that is huge for players.
That is large.
And people wanted to always compare Willie to Pastrnak. Mm-hmm. Pastrnak got 11.25. Willie was able to jump that by a quarter of $1 million.
Which is crazy.
But I'll tell you, go look at the finer print on Pastrnak's contract. No move for just 4 years.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's some.
And then it gets into a very tradable contract.
Yeah, it's like an 8 team, and then it's a 10 team, and it gets more tradable as it goes on. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. And that, to me, is a huge differential.
Yeah.
Massive. When you talk about...
you worry about the end years, and you can't do anything about
where
them here.
Where the end years are.
Yeah. And you know what else kind of catches me in here, Kip? Sorry, finish your thought.
Yeah, and my thought is that, just like Willie, I would have said, not a chance you're jamming the Pastrnak clauses in on my deal.
Yeah.
Because I watched you give Matthews a complete no move. I watched you give Tavares a complete no move. I watched Mitch Marner get a complete no trade move.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're jamming something else down my throat? Not a chance.
Yeah.
I deserve what they deserve. And the Leafs said, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Watching him shoot it in the net. Yeah, you're right. You know what else I think is kind of interesting about the contract, and I haven't heard this mentioned anywhere, is Willie's base salary versus signing bonus is the most lopsided in 26-27 and the year after, which is when the CBA expires.
Complete lockout strike proof.
Exactly.
This contract.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So he's covered himself for lockouts, he's covered himself for trades, he's covered himself in every conceivable way here.
Covered himself in money.
Yeah.
Now,
he's just Huel on the stack in Breaking Bad.
Just to kind of follow up a little bit, this no move. It's not the be-all, end-all. Of course, you have the player have final say, but... You know, if clubs want to get players out with a complete no move, they can still do it. But it's going to get a little greasy.
Well.
And
not John Tavares, though. You wouldn't do that to your captain. Would you?
Listen, if... Again, it doesn't go as well as everybody would have liked to have seen this spring.
Yeah.
It's an option to ask John to waive his no move as early as this summer if you don't feel like you want to trade Mitch Marner right away.
So, yeah, like if Tavares scores round-winning overtime goals, it's different than if he goes, you know, 0 goals, 3 assists, and then losing 6 games or something and
losing
the first round.
Losing 5 to the Panthers in the first round. Yeah.
Panthers, by the way, won 7 in a row. They're looking good.
Not the ideal for
Should we hear from...
Oh, yeah, we have clips.
...some of the Toronto Maplers involved?
Yeah.
Sammy,
well, we have William Nylander coming on, so we don't need to hear
and
about it.
Hold on. Before we go to the clips, just one more thought. Yeah. And, Nylander's going to be 35 when this thing is done?
Okay. Yeah. Sounds right.
Mid-30s?
Yeah.
If, in fact, you wanted to trade him after year 5... Again, if he didn't have a complete no move, a very easy contract, movable contract based on the fact that
no money.
How many teams in 5 years will be max teams? So you'll gladly take a Nylander.
Yeah.
Right? With an 11.5 AAV if you're nowhere near the max cap by then. And now that's not the case in the NHL because the Leafs cannot hold anything back and everybody's up against it. But 5 years from now, they won't care how high the AAV is for some teams because all they'll care is it's real cash, which probably would be a base salary of what, $2, $3 million?
Base salary the last 2 years are $1 million salaries. Yeah.
That's all that will matter to teams. If
when the cap's gone up $6 million in 2032, it'll be great.
Yeah, that could be trouble, but
right. Anyways, okay.
2032, by the way, that's the future. That doesn't even exist.
2032 is when his contract expires.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
We're still doing our show then. We've really done well.
We want to start with general manager Brad Treliving on signing Willie. Let's start there. Clip one.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. listen, I said it. When I first got here, there's some really good players. They're hard to get, they're hard to keep, and when you got them, you try to keep on to them or hold on to them. So I think it's a good day for us, a real good day for us to get him signed. We're excited to get him signed. Top player in what I believe just entering the prime of his career. So we're excited, but it's a good day for us.
So number two, you want to hear that?
Well, I don't know if anything turned it, Chris. It's a process to go through. I think when you have the starting point of a player that wants to be here and a team that wants to keep him, usually you can get it done. Listen, it's a big contract. It's a lot of money, and so you go through that process. But I don't know if there was ever an aha moment. We were, you know, you arm wrestle. You go through it. But I don't think there was ever a time where we felt we weren't going to get to the finish line, you know, because of what I said, the player ultimately wanted to be here. We wanted the player. So we find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he going to do?
There was an aha moment when they said, okay, we got to get this done.
The money you want to pay you want to get paid.
And that was just prior to the Christmas break.
Yeah. Was that right? Yeah.
It wasn't on Saturday night when he almost split the puck in two when he went hit it off the bar so hard.
God, that thing rattled off the post and in. And also, that's kind of his spot. Like, you know where he's shooting from that
right hand, low blocker from that position. It's like, that's going in. Yeah.
But I just sit here and you look at the player he is and has been for them, and you look at what happened with Johnny Gaudreau in Calgary and Treliving and him saying, you know, we can't have that happen again, and you can't recoup trade value for Willie. And you can't just let him walk, and he's scoring 115-point pace. Eventually, you hit a point where you got to go, you win.
We can't replace him.
We can't replace him. We can't just let him leave, and we can't replace him. So like, they had him. Willie's camp had him over a barrel, and they
you got to get
the job.
You got to give the old William camp a ton of credit here.
Yeah.
Because I guess you guys want to play the cheaper in the summer clip, because I think it's a good conversation.
All right, kind of cheaper in the summer.
Number three,
I wouldn't say the price was any cheaper in the summer. So this idea that all of a sudden the price, you know, we got to a point where everybody felt, you know, felt to get a deal done. And I think it's like any deal. You're probably always a little, you know, we always want a little less. The player always wants a little more. We find a way to get a deal done. And like I said, I at the end of the day, we got a really good player here that's going to be here for 8 more years. So that's we're happy about it.
Yeah. Do you believe that it wasn't cheaper in the summer?
I do believe that they asked for the same amount. I don't think it was cheaper in the summer.
No, there was no negotiation. Zero.
They
wrote the whole thing.
No. The Leafs were saying, show me, do it again. Yeah,
no, well, they're saying we want it 11.5 times 8. And the Leafs balked. And they threw out 8s and 9s and 10s.
Oh, how I like living in that world.
We'll give you the Kachuk contract. And, what do you think?
No.
Yeah. No?
Just.
They said no.
Let us know when you're ready for 11.5 times 8.
So that's what this is. So they offered them that. That contract has been sitting there for however many months. They were sitting there being like watching him shoot it off the bar and in every night.
Yes.
Be one of the best players in the league. And they're like, finally, we're just like, okay, here we are. That's how this happened.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean,
you're first, you're last.
The stats right now are pretty out of this world. He is still top five, tied with Connor McDavid, you know, in points right now. Yeah. He's got points in more games this season than any player in the league. He's going to score over 40 goals for consecutive years. He's strong. He's a great hockey player.
He is a great hockey player. Yeah, there's no question about that.
He's going, right?
And he's been going.
A lot.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you this, because I get the feeling that you've totally been swayed here in terms of
swayed where?
And Willie. With Willie. Like, you're not balking at this at all.
Oh, he's a much better player. He's proven it over. Yeah, he's won me over for a contract of this magnitude.
Okay, so you don't think there's any world where this is, like, not as good next year?
Oh, no, they could still lose in the first round.
No, like, going forward, you think there's no chance that he's, like, his play isn't as good.
He becomes
good
a 70-point player. And
I hope not, but it's okay if he goes 2 or 3 games where he completely disappears, because we're not at that point where we'll ever believe that is he a driver, a complete driver of the game?
Right now, I think yes.
Yeah.
There's no question with him shrinking the inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, but this is really the first time we've seen it in his career.
Yeah, I'd argue last season too. But
so if he can maintain that, then the Leafs and the Leaf fans are better for it. But if he disappears for 3 or 4 games, I wouldn't be overly shocked, and I wouldn't necessarily hang it over his head either, because somewhere there's this really talented player that at times can have these lulls.
Yeah.
And I think that will come back into play. You just hope it's not at the same rate that we saw in the first 6 years of his career.
Yeah. You know, I'd made some comments about, you know, questioning what his motivation might look like. Yes. On a long-term deal. But the more I've thought about it, like, you know, yeah, that could still be a small element of it, but he just kind of plays the way he plays. You know, like, he still is this similar guy. I don't think he's going to suddenly become a 70-point guy again. The other thing that I really like for Willie is he plays. He's a reliable, you know, you talk about availability is the best ability. He plays, I think he's played 81, 82, 81, 82.
Nobody gets hurt, but not on this team.
Well, apparently not. Why would you do
not
that?
Not the big
Why
guys.
Why would you do that? We
not
want
the big
them to
guys.
Have success.
They're not running over, you know, they're not running guys through the boards here.
You know, they're pretty durable, though. Like, Austin took a pretty tough rap. Was it on Saturday night or whenever it was that he went into the boards hard? And
very seldom you see him in that position.
For sure. Very uncommon. But he did. He went down pretty hard, and I was like, he's all right.
Yeah, that's true, though. He does play every game.
Yeah, and you can count on him.
Yeah. All right, I'm just a little, I guess I'm just gun-shy at the number. I'm happy that he committed to 8 years, but I just do worry about a dip.
Yeah. That's it. I'm sure your guys' texts and tweet mentions or a lot of people going about Willie,
which is me. Yeah. I'm the blah guy. Well, that's me.
The blah guy is based on the fact that you've had these guys for how many years and never really saw true success or a and to this point, up until our last show last week, like, is it the right balance?
Yeah.
Is it core four guys all making now plus $10 million? And we're going to get Brad Treliving to comment on this, and we'll get his comment, and then I want your comment coming out of this on whether or not they're just buying the same losing recipe of all that money up front to forwards and very little on the back end. Let's go to Brad Treliving, clip five.
Certainly there's always challenges, right, Pierre? And I think all we can do is we could only tackle these things one at a time, right, when they came up. So I got here and you know, Austin was the priority. You know, Austin and Willie were both going into their final years. We're able to get those done, and now you see what's next on the list, right? But you know, you're gonna have a cap that increases, but we're also not blind to the fact that there's other areas of our team as we move forward that you have to improve, and we'll continue to do that. So I don't have any bold statements or proclamations to make today, other than we got a really good player signed. Now we move on to the next.
So I'll say, like, that's the part of the conversation, and I've had these with conversations with other people where I've kind of stopped people and gone, that's a different conversation than the Willie contract conversation. Because, you know, is the team construction right is a relevant, important Leafs conversation. But with Willie's contract, you had to get him signed, and we've done this on the show today. You had to get him signed. You didn't have other options. Is it a fair deal? That's a different conversation from the whole picture of it. Now he's signed and you can go, okay, now what? Now that the deal is signed, now what do we want to be? Well, how do we want to look? Because Willie's going to be here. Willie's going to be a part of it. Is Mitch? Is John? Are you allocating money differently?
Yeah, that's kind of him talking about it. I agree. Him being like, yeah, like, I didn't sign Marner's contract. I signed Matthew's contract, which was my job. I signed Nylander's contract, which was my job. And then we'll take them as they come here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd be interested to see how he looks at it going forward. But
last time Brad had a crack at signing a big contract like didn't turn out so well in Calgary.
No.
I mean,
people are not happy about the Huberdeau deal.
Listen, guys, that's my greatest fear here.
That he turns into Jonathan Huberdeau?
Not that bad. But, like, it's a very similar situation as a guy who's had a good career on the up and up, has a massive
career year.
Yeah.
115
points. He's on pace
points.
For 115. Where, like, have I heard that number?
There are some.
That's Huberdeau's exact number.
There's an eerily terrifying parallels
yes.
here.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
are.
You, no one will argue that.
You don't think Tree went to sign this contract like this?
He's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Because I do. You know?
God, there's going to be some guys at the end of their careers that would be like, Tree, buddy, I'll send you a Christmas card every year.
As the general manager, Brad's in that position to be the face of this signing, but it's really consistent with the last 6 or 7 years, this contract, and that's not on Brad Treliving.
Well, that's what Sam said to me when I got here today. Right? He's like, hey, you stay the steady, get it done, and he did. And I was like, reminds me of another GM. We've heard
Marner,
that before.
Matthews, even Nylander on his first crack at a second contract, Tavares, we're always having the same conversation. Is it too much? You know, is it, why? Where was the discount? Like, this is no different than that. It's just the same. It's the same pattern. And yeah, maybe Lou's gone and, you know, there's a different general manager now from Dubas. But, you know, it's more on, this is the way Brendan Shanahan has put his stamp on all these deals.
Yeah, the two things I'll quibble with there are that the Willie contract ended up looking great, right? Like, his last contract ended up looking great. He's making 6.9 this year to score 100 points. You know, so that one ended up looking like a bargain. So it's not all that these contracts have been like, they got every cent they could.
But at the time,
sure.
they're consistent with the same narrative. All of them.
The one thing that's not consistent is that Matthews' deals have come quickly, without much discussion, and early. If you sign that Matthews contract he signed this summer, this next summer, after he scores 70 goals this year, or whatever it's going to be, it's not 13-2-5. The problem with so many of these deals is how long they waited. They should have signed Mitch earlier. They should have signed Willie earlier. If they were going to keep these guys and it was that important, they should have signed them earlier. The early signings have been good.
That's the only thing that's made sense in the last 35 minutes. They just should have done all of this earlier.
Yes. If you're so set on keeping them, then keep them.
Can I say, though, as just a quick aside from all of this, I want to give kudos to Morgan Rielly for signing his contract the way he did.
Morgan Rielly is like the antithesis to this other, the core four forwards.
I feel like everyone gets, it's like all these Leafs always take him to the woodshed and no
Morgan's
one ever mentions.
Like making 7-5, playing 25 minutes a night.
I haven't taken a penalty yet. I am the play against every good player. I make $7.5 million for 8 years. I love being a Leaf and no one ever mentions it. And all we want people to do is take a hometown discount. And he did it, and no one ever gives
Everyone
him credit
yells
for it.
About the core, and Morgan's like, do I exist? He's Remember the All or Nothing series? He wasn't in any of the episodes?
He's potentially he is so important to them. And he makes $7.5 million.
Yeah. He's playing 24.5 minutes per game this year.
I wanted to mention that before we go to break.
Let's go to break because there's still plenty of meat to chew off the bone here.
They just won 3 in a row in California, and they've looked better than they have all year.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. More Willie Nylander conversation and perhaps maybe a deeper dive in what it might mean to Mitch Marner. Just note at the top of the hour, we'll have Elliot Friedman jump on board. And then the man of the hour, Willie Nylander, will join us at 5:30 Eastern. This is Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcast.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. You've been under a rock. Willie Nylander just signed a long-term deal. 8 years, $92 million. You had mentioned Mitch Marner earlier.
We get to do it all over again, guys.
Hate it.
Is this signing today moving Willie and Matthews as a 1-2 punch and kind of leaving Marner a little bit on the outside looking in terms of where his long-term future lies?
I personally would... So love and respect for John Tavares. I think he's an awesome player, but you'd sure love to keep the three young guys who do get the most points.
That's a hell of an idea by you.
I guess I'm a little hesitant to be like, if you get rid of him, you're kind of every other team in the league who has a couple of good players. Every team in the league has a couple of good players. The Leafs' advantage, they got more than that. So I would like to see them hang on to Mitch Marner if they can. I think it comes down to playoffs, like you said. If they don't succeed, there's going to be a lot of noise to do something different.
It's almost as if you're, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Mitch has a...
Lights it up.
Lights it up.
Wins the Conn Smythe.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, who takes that problem?
and no problem.
In a loss, though.
And kiss him goodbye.
He just jagares it somehow.
And 50 points and they lose in
and
seven.
And kiss him goodbye and thank him for the amazing playoff run.
Like we did with Kawhi. I think the city would be happy.
So last week, we had briefly had a discussion on Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and where you think that may go in the next 2 years for the Edmonton Oilers. And I told you...
God, Leon loved this contract.
No, there's a lot of guys out there that love Willie's contract today. And one of them is in Pittsburgh with Kyle Dubas and Jake Gensel.
Gensel. Think Sam Reinhart liked it too?
Sam Reinhart liked it. Mikko Rantanen liked it.
Oh, is he up in a couple years?
Oh, I think it could be earlier than
that. Oh, really?
Take a quick look.
I think if you're Rantanen, you have the case to make that you're more valuable, right?
But
he has this year next.
But he's eligible to sign this year like Mitch Marner.
Yeah, correct.
So Mitch is already at 10.9, essentially $11 million. Like, where is even the wiggle room to go moving forward if he doesn't have a good finish, or the team doesn't have a good finish, or if the team does have a good finish? Where could those talks go as early as July 1st?
For me, like Borny said, I'm signing him. I'm keeping him, right? Like, I'm going to keep him. Next year is going to be really tough on the books. Like, it really is. Like, I mentioned it in our first block that it's unavoidable how much of a disaster next year's cap situation is. But at the same time, you're not going to ever get back, again, another point from me, you're not going to get back what you want for Marner.
No.
You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, we've restocked the cupboards and got our number one D-man and got, like, it's not going to be like that.
No.
So I think he's, I kind of want to keep them all. They're good.
So like, I collect all four.
They're good.
If the one thing that we can say that hasn't played well for the Leafs is getting ahead. So here we are today. Let's play general manager for the day.
Okay.
How do we get ahead now on Mitch Marner?
You have to wait until July 1st, right? You can't sign anything until July 1st.
They're talking.
Think now they're talking?
Oh, yeah.
How could you not be? You've got to.
Come on, guys.
They see each other at those four performances.
There's some nice conversations going on. Am I here to suggest to you that hard numbers have been exchanged or negotiations are going on? No, but there are discussions. Together or internally on what do we do here moving forward. So if you were JB, Brad Tree Living, how do you get ahead of it July 1st for Mitch Marner?
Well, you know, I imagine you start by saying, what is it you're looking for? Where are you? You establish that. And if we know anything from the last negotiations, they're looking for $20 million. But, you know, I presume you just say, where do you think you are in this landscape of wingers? And you start to say, yeah, you know, are you looking to be here the length of the term? You say, are you better than Willie Nylander? Let's look at the stats this year. You weren't. Okay, we're going to pay you less than Nylander. And they say, okay, let's look at historically. I'm way better than Willie. And then you end up giving him 12.25 and times 8 and call it a day.
Yeah.
How'd I do?
I have no rebuttal. that sounds exactly like how it's going to go.
I'd consider 12.2 over 8.
Sure.
He'll give him a hometown discount, Marner.
For sure.
Good hometown boy.
Is 12.2 over 8, Sammy, a discount for you?
No, but I think one thing's very clear here. There's no discounts. No. There's no giving it back. No. So I think if you can kind of learn to live with that fact, which is a hard one to get over, then I guess you'll be okay. But
yeah. You're lagging the juice,
yeah,
huh?
I guess I do, but I don't know.
Where would you tell us how to get it done? You're the one who knows stuff. We don't know stuff.
No. I think, okay, let's play hindsight here.
Okay.
Season hasn't started.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Willie Nylander. In hindsight, if the Leafs would have tried to get him done for 10.5 times 8 at that time, would you have said the Leafs overpaid or right about right? Or what? If
that sounds like the window where we'd have said, seems like a bit much, but yeah, it's good. I feel like that's how I would have felt about it.
Or is the new age now to come out with a flat number and just say, match it or we walk? Now, that's the other thing that you have to understand is that, you know, there's the agent side, there's a players association side, there's a market that they may think you're in, but where are you emotionally as an individual to have the guts to turn around and say 80's no good, but I'll take 92.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of guys that'll go, just take the 80.
Yeah, I'll take the 80.
Take the 80.
I'm the 80 guy.
Take the 80, 90, 92.
80.
Yeah, big 80 guy.
No difference. No difference.
No. A lot of money. I'm rich now. I don't want to deal with this. I do think, sorry, Sam.
No, go ahead.
With Marner, it would be important to say, you know, we're doing this summer. Because if you say you're not going to sign for whatever we think is fair value for you, we need to know if we have to trade you or not. And we're going to get a lot more value out of you if we can trade a full season of you. So we're going to do this going into the year. and we'll have the playoffs to go off, and we'll say, let's figure it out, or we're going to have to do something different. Because I'm sure the Marner camp will say they're happy to walk. I'm sure.
We're getting a million texts today. People are horned up.
People got thoughts.
And it's just like, the thing that keeps coming up, you can't win with these guys. And it's like, okay, that's very fair. That's like, they haven't won anything. They've won one playoff round. But like, if you trade them,
win with Ovechkin
but
either,
no, but
right?
Like, I'm asking this, and I don't even know if I believe it, but like, are you better if you trade the good players? Are you more likely to win without the really good players?
This is what
I don't
getting
know.
Spoiled is.
I don't
where
know.
You just think your players can sleepwalk to 100 points every year. It's like, not that easy.
But they've just, if they had just won two rounds during this time or three rounds total, like the perception would be so different. It's just, can you win? Can you win? It's always through this lens, which sucks for Leaf fans because these guys are excellent. And I'm part of this.
But yes. Yeah.
They're excellent players and they're all like really good, but they get painted in the, can you win with them?
They know that though. The players now know that you can be Austin and Mitch who are on franchise historic paces to be talked about as the greatest Toronto Maple Leafs in any generation. That's how good they are. But they got that Charles Barkley couldn't win. And the older they get, the more it's going to weigh on them.
And so people feel differently about going back to the well with the same guys. I am of the, you know, knowing how I changed as a player as I got older and my mental state changed and whatever. Obviously, I'm not a great example here, but I just know that I got better and I got tougher and I got, you know, whatever. I'd hate to be like, well, they haven't won, so at 27, we're going to trade them all. The odds of you watching them lift the cup for another team at that point are pretty good.
If you were going to do it 2 or 3 years ago,
you were either
going to
give up on these guys or you're going to see it through.
Yeah, because like you said, 27, I don't know, I'm not the biggest expert. Seems like a good time for hockey players.
You know, like,
bit of a problem.
You know what I think? It was at the Oklahoma City that had Durant, yeah. Westbrook, Harden.
Ibaka.
And yeah. They were like, can't win with these guys or whatever. And then they all went out and lit it up everywhere else. And it's like, what if you just hang on and let these guys see it through?
I'm unfortunate.
Which is Brendan Shanahan's theory.
I've gone back and forth so much on the run it back thing.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sneaky. Back,
back
I'm back a little bit. Yeah, not even because of this year. Like, they look exactly the same as every other year. But the more I start to zoom out, it's like, you know, what's the alternative?
Yeah,
worse players, like grittier players, I guess. Like guys who, a star who fights and hits. It's like, well, who's the guy?
Like, yeah, could get worse.
I almost certainly would.
That's what I mean. So I don't know. I've not like I'm having an epiphany on air here, but it's just. At some point, you say you can't win with these guys.
Well, that's just it. Even whether you're talking about firing a coach or trading a player, it's like, are you sure? Are you sure it's going to get better?
That's all these goalie conversations we've had for the last month. Is like,
at least we're finding that.
Jake Allen. Martin Jones is the best. It kills me we haven't really talked currently hockey. We have 90 seconds. I'd just like to say that Martin Jones, I fully believe. I believe in Jones, and they should keep him as a part of their tandem.
Prior to...
Already.
I mean that. I'm in.
Prior to allowing...
Oh, come on.
It's old.
Way too early for that.
Sold on Martin Jones.
Well, prior to allowing the 3-1 goal against San Jose, Martin Jones had made 99 straight saves at 5-on-5.
You know, this guy, Kip...
If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, you'd be okay with Martin Jones?
As my backup, assuming Joseph Woll's very good. But, like, I don't think he's any... I don't think Samsonov's going to be better or has a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't. Jones,
apparently
I was
had
looking
a good
at
week.
Today, I'm like, okay, he's 6'5". He's the same age as Markstrom, Talbot, Bobrovsky. Same. He's not 1,000. He's been in bad places when his numbers have been bad. I don't know.
Samsonov had a good week.
Did
does
he?
That even
that's
mean?
That's what Tree said.
What hopefully, does that mean?
Hopefully he has a good week in Magnitogorsk.
The guys who are trying to shoot the puck at his pads hit his pads.
All right, just like that, our first hour is done, but we still got plenty more coming up next hour. Elliot Friedman will join us. Top of the hour, and then the man we've been talking about, Willie Nylander, Toronto Maple Leaf forward, will join us at 5:30 Eastern. Stick around, plenty more on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.